Good Thursday morning, everyone. My name is Will Harris, and I'll be taking just a few minutes this morning to discuss spiritual things with you as we start our day. This week, we've been looking at lessons we can learn from Paul's life. Now, as we've already commented this week, Paul went through some pretty incredible things in his life. We started the week off by reading, in Paul's own words, what his motivation was to keep pressing forward in the face of such intense opposition and hardship. He repeatedly affirms that it's all for the gospel. Then on Tuesday, we started looking at specific challenges in Paul's life by examining how he handled political tensions. Yesterday, we looked at how he handled sickness or physical illness in his life. We've seen that Paul faced many of the same sorts of issues that we are confronted with today. Now I want to look at one more issue that Paul had to deal with in his life, racial tension. Now before we go any further, I want you to try to put aside your idea of racism as you've seen it or heard it about it in your own life. Imagine a version of racism in which prejudice is not based on skin color, but on being born into a very specific group of people who all descend from one family. These people may look like you, live near you, speak the same language as you. Now imagine that if you're not born into this one specific group, then you are viewed as inferior, not just in this life, but in the next. What if this group held the belief that to have a relationship with God, you had to be a member of their group, and that all others were heathens or infidels? We don't often think about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles as a matter of racism, but I think in a lot of ways that's exactly what it is. In terms of social problems that affected the early church, few had the same impact that the issue of Jews and Gentiles did. Paul was often caught in the middle of these issues. Paul was raised not only as a Jew, but as a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Jews. However, he devoted almost his entire life to preaching to Gentiles after he became a Christian, and this caused much strife and hardship for him from the Jewish circles that he had once been a part of. Earlier in the week, we talked about Paul's run-ins with different political and governmental groups. Remember, we said that all of that started because of this race issue. Paul had just returned from his third missionary journey to various Gentile groups when the Jews in Jerusalem organized a mob to capture him out of anger and jealousy. Today, though, I want to look specifically at how Paul handled this prejudiced attitude specifically within the church. Because yes, this attitude definitely did exist in the early church, and Paul spent a great deal of time addressing this issue. The book of Romans particularly deals with this. In his letter to the Roman church, Paul starts the book off by reminding them that everyone, Jew or Gentile, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is, we are all equal in that we all need Christ and his sacrifice. I'm going to pick up reading in chapter 3 here in verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Now, he'll go on to quote several of the Old Testament prophets here, but we're going to skip down a few verses to verse 21. He says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus." Now Paul also makes a similar statement in Galatians 3 that I want to pull in here, starting in verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Now, if you've been listening all week, this will not be a surprise to you, but Paul's answer to the racial tensions that he faced was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, that we can be buried with him in baptism and have our sins, that we all have, by the way, washed away. Now, as we're thinking about this in terms of our modern situation, I want to add the clarification that this does not negate the need for social reform or improvement. In fact, Paul spent a great deal of time discussing the practical side of how we should be treating each other in our day-to-day lives. The point I want to make, though, is that his reason that he appeals to for why we should treat each other as well is the gospel. Paul understood that if men were receptive to the gospel message and its transformative power, these other more practical issues would start to fall into place. After all, Jesus himself taught in Matthew 22 that the two greatest commands were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. To be a Christian, as God would have us to be, is to be someone who deeply cares and wants the best for those around him, regardless of race, ethnicity, or any other distinction. That's about all the time I had this morning. I appreciate you taking the time to join me today, and I hope you'll be able to join me tomorrow as we close the week out by looking at one more aspect of Paul's life that will help to bookend our discussion for this week. His heavenly citizenship. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a great day, everyone.